Today is Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, and it's the Sunday that we celebrate what we call All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day was actually on Friday. This is the Sunday closest. Well, there's always a bit of confusion over just what we mean when we talk about saints. Probably because different people and churches and football fans from New Orleans and baseball fans from St. Paul define saint differently. And as we always should, we look to God to see how He defines a saint. So a saint in the Bible is literally a holy one. And there gets another word that gets misconstrued all the time. Holy means set apart for God. That means if something is holy, it is different from other things. Different in a good way, different God's way. Well, there are two parts to being a saint. Two parts to sainthood that I want to talk about today. The first part is the becoming a saint part. The second is the living as a saint part. Now, people are constantly getting the wrong idea about saints by putting the second part, the living as a saint part, first. Here's what I mean. People get the idea that if I live a holy life, which is part two, then I can become holy, which is actually part one. That way of thinking would try to give us credit for becoming saints, for becoming holy. Sorry, but that ain't happening. Well, think about this. What's the common phrase that people use to indicate that they don't do everything God wants them to do? Have you ever heard people say, "I'm no saint"? Yeah, there's all sorts of country songs about it. It's a phrase that assumes we become saints by doing nothing but what God wants us to do. Okay, so how many people here, show of hands, have done nothing but what God wants you to do? Okay, good. If there was a hand that had gone up, we'd need to talk. So, based on the idea that we have to live a holy life in order to become a saint, how many saints do we have here today? Yeah, it should be pretty obvious. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Thank God that living a holy life in order to become a saint is the wrong idea. It's getting part two and part one confused, kind of like the old cart before the horse type of a thing. So part one, becoming a saint, it's God who makes us saints, makes us holy by what He did. And since you're here today or you're listening today, I'm going to guess that you know what it is that God did to make us saints. He died, taking the punishment for all of those times when we haven't done what He wanted, when we haven't lived a holy life. All those bad attitudes, all those bad words, and bad actions, hurtful actions, and bad inactions. And good words we've kept to ourselves. All the times we've broken the commandments. Jesus died to make us saints. Through the forgiveness of sins, the washing away of all of our unholiness, He offers us sainthood just for believing in Him. Now that means truly trusting in Him as the one true God, relying on Him for your forgiveness and your eternal life, and trusting, among other things, that everything He tells you is true and right and good. Now, I put on the signboard outside, "Thank God for dying to turn sinners into saints." We become saints by putting our trust in the one who died to make us saints. By the way, who gets credit for us putting our trust in Jesus? Us or God? Yeah, God does. He puts it this way, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. We find that in 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Okay, so God accomplishes part one. And after he brings us to accept sainthood, the sainthood he purchased for us by dying on the cross, after he brings us to accept that sainthood by bringing us to trust in Jesus, then comes part two, living as a saint. I'd like to spend the rest of the time on that part. Now, the Sunday school students today, their lesson was on the Ten Commandments. And I love the title of their lesson. It's called A Loving Law. That really emphasizes God's motivation for giving us those rules and literally every rule that he gives to us. He gives them because he loves us. And like the perfect parent he is, he knows that keeping those rules always results in what's best for us. No, it's not always going to be the easiest, but it always is certainly the best. Good reminder that easy is rarely ever best. But we love easy, don't we? Yeah. Unfortunately, it's rarely ever best. But the Ten Commandments were given so that God's people, and that would be us, would know how to live holy lives. Holy, again, being different in a good way, in God's way. In other words, after God has accomplished part one and made us holy, made us saints, by forgiving our sins, adopting us into his holy family through baptism and faith in Jesus, he gives us the family rules so that we would know just how members of his family, saints in other words, are supposed to live. So I could go through the commandments for the rest of the time, but you know, there's 10 of them. And I don't know if you are anything like me. If you are, your mind has trouble focusing on just one thing. Now, I suppose I could do a 10-part series on the commandments and just focus on one today, one next week, and so on. But during men's study this week, I got a different idea. The book of Philippians. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole book. Just a couple really important, here's how to live as saints passages in that book. I figured it was an appropriate book because right away in verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts out by saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, the church that he's writing to. Now, that first verse corrects another wrong idea that people have about saints. Everybody's got this idea that saints are dead people. I don't think Paul was writing to a bunch of zombies here. Nobody writes a letter to dead people. Saints are people who are in Jesus' family by virtue of their faith in him. Some of those people have died, gone to be with him. But lots of those people are still very much alive. And that's who Paul's writing to. But in chapter 2, I found this passage. It's chapter 2, verse 12 through 15. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. Paul is writing this to them from prison, by the way. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, God's done part one for you. He saved you and he made you saints by dying for you. Now put that salvation to work by living life as a saint. Verse 13 goes on, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God also here gets a credit for our attempts to live as saints. And now here's the one that saintly instruction that I really wanted to focus on today. Verse 14, do all things, without grumbling or disputing or complaining, as the NIV puts it. that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And I read that and I said, do we live in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation? Boy, oh boy, you better believe it. But it appears that we're not the first to live in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation all the way back in the first century. Christians did too. I'm going to guess they have been throughout all history. Well, the choir started us out today in worship with the song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. This passage tells us that one of our tasks as saints is to shine the light of Jesus to the crooked and twisted generation we live in. And how does God tell us that we can shine Jesus' light to that crooked, twisted generation? Really simple. Do all things, without grumbling or complaining. I said it was simple. I didn't say it was easy. Why is doing all things without grumbling or complaining so important? Well, I would say if there's one thing that's at the very top of the list of crooked and twisted generation that we live in, it's grumbling and complaining. The whole purpose of living like saints is to not be like the rest of the world. We don't shine the light of Jesus by being like the rest of the world. We shine the light of Jesus by not being like the rest of the world. So when the rest of the world is grumbling and complaining, which it seems to be doing almost all the time, every day, we are going to stand out like a light shining in a dark place when we refuse to do that. When we refuse to grumble and complain, we're going to stick out like the proverbial sore thumb. I like sticking out like a light shining in a dark place better. Have you ever heard somebody use the phrase, he or she was a saint? Of course you have. And what was it that typically caused people to reserve that title for that person? What was it about that person that causes people to say, oh, he was a saint, or she's a saint? Yeah, most often it is that this saint didn't complain, right? Even though they had lots of stuff to complain about. When we see somebody like that, the phrase typically to describe them is that person is a saint. They could be grumbling and should be grumbling and complaining about their lot in life, but they don't. Well, not grumbling and complaining about people, about situations, or about things God wants you to do, especially about things God wants you to do, gets noticed. And it makes people want to have what you have that makes you not complain or grumble when everybody expects you to do that. At the end of his letter, at the end of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul tells us the key to not grumbling and complaining. It's in chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Here's what he says. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, this is one of those passages that I hear taken out of context all the time, taken out of context to mean I can do whatever I want to do because Jesus gives me the strength to do it. That's not what it means. What the passage really means in the context of this letter that Paul is writing is, I know the key to being content. In other words, to not grumbling and complaining in any and every situation. And that key is, I have Jesus. And if I have him, I have everything I need. Whether I've got a ton of material things or whether I don't have anything and I'm sitting in prison here, I can be content because I've got Jesus. And when I've got Jesus, I really do have all that I need. So, as saints, believers in Jesus, you also have Jesus. He's made you a saint. He purchased your sainthood by dying for you. He adopted you into his family when his Spirit brought you to place your faith in Jesus. And when you keep from grumbling and complaining in a world that seems to do both all day long, you are living like a saint and shining the light of Jesus to that world with the purpose that maybe, just maybe, they will take notice and ask what your secret is. Which you can say, along with the Apostle Paul, I got Jesus. I got everything I need. What do I have to complain about? Bottom line, God has made you a saint by what Jesus did, by what the Holy Spirit did. So, just go out and live like one. And here's your key. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. Which you can do because you got Jesus. What do you got to complain about? Amen.